Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We are in Jerusalem, the holy city, getting ready for the holiday of Passover. It's a pleasure to be on the air. Thanks so much to Binyamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there'd just be no sound. Get in touch with me. Keep sending those emails. I love the emails. Josh at thelandofisrael.com. Also on Facebook, it's Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N, on Twitter, at Jew of Zion. Just a few minutes from now, we are going to have my good friend, scholar in residence, Rabbi Guy Aviahod. For those who have been listening to my shows over the years, I always turn to Rabbi Guy when I need some spiritual advice, some information to share with you about the upcoming holidays, and of course, Passover starting this Friday night. Rabbi Guy runs the Haboidim, secondhand thrift shops, two branches in Jerusalem, and what they do is they provide transitional work for people with mental disabilities. They run these stores. People bring in, donate their clothes, and they sell them at an extremely, extremely low price. You can get some great deals over there at Haboidim. Check it out. And the focus I want to talk to him about, in addition to all the Passover Seder information, is just the chesed and the good deeds that come out this time of year, people donating, people getting involved. And that really is the one of the focuses of the holiday. We'll get to that soon. Let's start with some news and some fan mail. Tom and Brenda in Canada, they write the following. Hello, Joshua. Thank you for having Kay Wilson speak. If those who did not hear the interview last week with terror survivor Kay Wilson, go back to the archives here on thelandofisrael.com and check out. Very, very difficult interview to listen to. You're going to want to check that out. Please let Kay know we support and love her and feel great emotion over what she endured and continues to endure. We cannot even imagine the memories she carries daily in her body and in her spirit. And then Tom and Brenda want to know about organizations that help survivors of terrorism. There are plenty of those. You can Google those. One Family Fund, NAVA, and many others as well. Joshua, we welcome you to this network. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and your family to keep you safe, provide abundantly for your needs. Shalom from Canada, Tom and Brenda. Thanks so much for listening, Tom and Brenda. Thank you for the note. I read each and every email, and I appreciate the mail that you send and sharing your thoughts on the show and sending your good wishes. So thanks a lot. Let's get to a little bit of news before we go to Rabbi Guy. Palestinians, we will not accept a Jewish Israel. We will not. This is not really new news, but people need to be reminded over and over what the situation is here. They will not accept Mahmoud Abbas, Fatah, Hamas, none of these guys. They won't accept one inch of Israel as being a Jewish state. People always blame the settlements and the settlements, and if you only would stop building those darn settlements. But that's not the case. And you know who's reporting this? Not a Jew, an Arab. Khalid Al-Butwame, who I believe here lives in Jerusalem, writes for the Jerusalem Post, and this is actually published in the GateStoneInstitute.org website. And again, the headline, Palestinians, we will not accept a Jewish state. He says the following: the Palestinian refusal to recognize Israel as a Jewish state is based on the argument that such a move would mean giving up the, quote, right of return for millions of refugees into Israel. This refusal is also based on the continued denial of any historic Jewish connection to the land. In recent weeks, this is today, folks, this isn't in 2000, this isn't years and years ago, the PA president has once again reiterated his strong opposition to recognizing Israel as a Jewish state. Now, I've said this before many a times. I don't need Mahmoud Abbas to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. I don't need his blessing. I recognize it, and we recognize it here as Jews living in the land of Israel. I don't need it. But the problem is the following. Settlement construction complaints, that is what the world is focusing on. They are ignoring the fact that Mahmoud Abbas is not willing to recognize a Jewish state. Why did the talks not succeed in the year 2000? Remember, Israel time and time again is offering has offered the Palestinians a state, 2000, 2008, and we can go all the way back to 1947, etc., because they will not give up on this notion of so-called right of return, which they actually don't have a right of, which means they want the entire state. They refer to all of this area as Palestine, an entity which never existed, a state which never existed. The communities of Judea and Samaria, the communities, the post if you will, the post-1967 communities of Israel. That is all, as he says here, Khalid Abu Tawame, a Palestinian Authority smokescreen. They're trying to make the focus on that, and the world is buying it. The UN, the United States, State Department, the European Union, everyone is buying the fact. They say that if only you would stop building in these communities, there would be peace. That is not the issue. The issue is they will not recognize one Jew living on 1 inch, 1 centimeter of this land of Israel. That is the point. You got to go check out this article. It came out April the 15th, just 3 days ago. Khalid Abu Tawame, again, it's called Palestinians. We will not accept a Jewish Israel. We can't get into the entire article now. There's just not enough time. Go to the GatestoneInstitute.org website, and you can see Khalid Abu Tawame's analysis and his revelation. I mean, it's over and over again, but people are just not listening to the fact they won't accept even one Jew, not in Tel Aviv, not in Jaffa, not in Haifa, not anywhere in the land of Israel, certainly not in Gush Etzion. Other articles here which are relevant in the news, and this is something I don't get. This is mind-boggling to me. About a month or so ago, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and the Defense Minister, Moshe Yaalon, they decided that they were going to stop transferring the bodies of terrorists, Palestinian terrorists, jihadists. They were not going to give the bodies back to the families because Israel believes that their funerals actually fuel additional violence. So that was a decision made by the Prime Minister of Israel. Yet, this week, somehow, by mistake, according to this report, in the Jerusalem Post, Israel on Friday, just several days ago, erroneously returned to the Palestinian Authority the body of an axe-wielding terrorist who was killed the previous day, this past Thursday, after attacking IDF soldiers at a military post at Al-Arub. That's like 10 minutes from my house, south of the Gush Etzion Junction. How do you make a mistake and return a body? How does something like that happen? Is somebody not watching the bodies? Did somebody say, well, I have an extra body in my trunk, I might as well turn this over? How in the world? This is completely unacceptable. The Prime Minister made a policy decision. How does a body get misplaced, erroneously returned to the Palestinian Authority? This demands, I mean, the investigation over the soldier in Hebron, who I still believe, and we'll find out, shot the terrorist who was on the ground because he posed a threat, and that is what the soldier said. And there are a lot of demonstrations coming up here, I believe even starting today, on behalf of the soldier. Many high-profile individuals going to be attending those demonstrations all over the country, in Tel Aviv, etc. I mean, you know, when that happens, total chaos, and everyone has an opinion, and everything is you know, completely clear, the soldier did something wrong, and that's the establishment attacking him even before an investigation, etc. But how does something like this happen? How does a body get returned to our enemies, even though the Prime Minister made a clear policy decision, we're not going to do this? I mean, is somebody going to be punished for this? That's the ultimate question. And here you have the image of the axe. I mean, this was a miracle, by the way. If you didn't see the story, this jihadist, this Hamas guy, came after a soldier with an axe. He actually struck him, and the helmet, I mean, God, of course, but the helmet saved his life there. And then the soldiers killed the jihadist. This was just several days ago, not too far away from where I live. And they got his body back. They got his body back so they could celebrate, call him a martyr, probably name a town square after him, and our wonderful peace partners in the Palestinian Authority. It doesn't make sense to me how something like this, a mistake this grave, can happen. I expect action to be taken. I expect somebody to get in trouble for returning the body. If they're going to go after that soldier, let's see them go after this person who went against the Prime Minister and the Defense Minister of the State of Israel. One other article here before we get to Rabbi Guy. UNESCO, a UN organization, is being slammed by the Prime Minister of Israel because they came up with a resolution the other day ignoring the Jewish connection to the Temple Mount. They were talking about Jerusalem. They were bashing Israel, of course, because of the settlements, the communities of Judea and Samaria. And they made references. This is UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. They made references to holy sites in Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, what we call the Temple Mount, and the Western Wall in the Old City, but they did not use the words Temple Mount. they would not refer or reference the fact that Jews have a historical religious connection to our holiest site, the Temple Mount. Let's remember, it's not the Western Wall that's the holiest. The Temple Mount is the holiest. The resolution refers to Israel as the occupying power at every mention, uses the Arabic term Al-Aqsa Mosque, Al-Haram al-Sharif, without ever calling it the Temple Mount. And they made a reference, apparently in quotation marks, to the Western Wall. They put the Western Wall in quotation marks, but using the term in Arabic, Al-Barak Plaza. This is what they call that area in the Palestinian Authority, certainly in Hamas, etc., throughout the Arab world. They won't refer to it as the Western Wall, in quotes, okay? There are people here who, you know, whether you're for or against going up to the Temple Mount, whether you think you shouldn't set foot up there for religious reasons, etc., I disagree. I believe you should go up to certain areas to demonstrate that that is our holiest site, etc. But nevertheless, I mean, Western Wall is pretty mainstream. It's pretty consensus. Yet here you have the UN. This isn't even the Palestinian Authority siding with the PA and the Arab world, not even referring to the Western Wall as the Western Wall, only in quotation marks. That is what, you know, that is the situation here today in Israel. I mean, with this UNESCO, you do have the, you know, who's on the executive, you know, committee here, the commission, the resolution submitted by Algeria, Egypt, Lebanon, Morocco, Oman, Qatar, Sudan. These are the ones who created the resolution, UNESCO resolution. You have on all these different levels, the UN Human Rights Commission, etc., who is being led by these dictatorial regimes, being represented on these international bodies as if they can be a voice of moral clarity. And here you have it with UNESCO. These are the ones, Oman, Qatar, Sudan, these are the ones submitting the resolution. And of course, they automatically pass against Israel. It's an automatic majority. I read an interesting, and then of course, nothing about the Israeli victims of terror. The 34 have been murdered since October. Nothing passed, nothing even mentioning them in the resolution. And there was an important article in the Jerusalem Post over the weekend, Hillel Neuer from UN Watch. I mean, see the important work he's doing and how important it is for him to get the message out about who the UN is, what they're really all about, and to take action in order to prevent this anti-Israel bias, which is present basically at every session, at least in the UN Human Rights Council there. Now you have UNESCO. We don't even have to get into what happens over there at the General Assembly. And how more resolutions, anti-Israel resolutions, are passed than against any other nation in the world, North Korea, Iran, on and on and on. That is our reality, and that is what we are facing here today. Anyway, on that note, we are going to take a short break. Be right back with Rabbi Guy Avihud from Haboiding to talk about the holiday of Passover. He is my scholar in residence. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com. Radio Network. Check us out online and get involved in the show. Send me an email, josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, Josh Haston, Haston. Twitter, @Jew of Zion. Big shout out to Binyamin Bresky. We will be right back with Rabbi Guy. And it's another beautiful day here in Jerusalem, really just outside the walls of the Old City. Do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com.
The Land of Israel Network wishes you a happy Passover. Join the cause. Become a partner of thelandofisrael.com today and help bring forth the truth and beauty of Israel to the world. For more information, click on www.thelandofisrael.com.
And welcome back to the show. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com radio network. Thanks so much for joining us. We are getting ready for the holiday of Passover. And for those who have been listening to my shows over the years, whether it's the old station or the old station, I mean, we keep moving around, but Please God, we'll be here for a long, long time on thelandofisrael.com. You know my scholar-in-residence, Rabbi Guy Avihud, a good friend of mine. He runs a place called Haboidim. It is a secondhand thrift shop. He actually has two branches now, one in the Talpiot neighborhood of Jerusalem, one in the center of town. And what they do is they provide transitional work for people with mental disabilities, getting them back in the workforce. They're the ones who are manning these stores. And you can go there and you can get a great deal on all sorts of clothing. And before we go to the phone and speak to Rabbi Guy, let's welcome you first, Rabbi. I know you're out near the old city of Jerusalem getting ready for Passover. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, and it's so great to be back on the air with you, Josh. Everybody missed you on the air, and also I have missed being with you on the air.
Yeah, it was too long to be off the air. It's good to be back on. I want to tell people about Haboidim. Again, this is a transitional work environment for people with mental disabilities. Two branches, two stores. I was at Haboidim yesterday. You probably don't even know this. And I was at the Talpiot branch and, of course, cleaning out the house for Passover. You find all these clothes, which are high quality. They're still good. It's not junk clothes, God forbid. It's clothes, but, you clean out your closet, spring cleaning, Passover, etc. So I go over there, and I'm dropping off clothes, and the lady's opening in the morning, very early, before 9 a.m., and there are piles and piles and piles of clothes from people who have dropped off. And I know you could say, well, it's Passover, people are cleaning, but I think it's a lot more than that. I think it's people are just willing to and wanting to donate and to give back to society instead of just throwing. It's easy to just to throw it in the garbage, but people are bringing by the truckful, bringing clothes to Haboidim in order to help their fellow man, the less fortunate.
Absolutely, Josh. I was there this morning as well. I was there at 7:45 in the morning, trying to get a handle. These days before Passover were overwhelmed by the goodness of people. Now, as you said, most people bring really good clothes, great quality clothes, and we sort through the clothes, we hang them out, and we sell them. But sometimes you see people that give, socks, undershirts, and you say, wow, they want to give. That giveness is in their heart. So I'm happy to receive because I say they start doing something good, they're going to continue to do more good. And this, I think, is the holiday. The Rambam, let me jump right into Passover, okay?
Please, go ahead.
I know you want to speak about the boredom, but the boredom is one type of thing that I really enjoy because what we do, we receive the clothes, we sort through them, we sell them for 20, 30, 40 shekels. You can get great clothes for a very cheap price. And the idea is that you continue the cycle of chesed, of doing good in the world by giving a job to people with disabilities and helping them getting back on their feet. Now, the same thing is about Passover. The Rambam, very famous Rambam, the Maimonides, in a very famous passage, says that if you do Passover just for yourself, if you invest just in your food, if you invest just in your meal, then this is the happiness of your stomach. It's not the happiness of the holiday. The happiness of the holiday is to help other people, to send money to people that don't have it, to welcome people into your home, to open up the doors and accept other Jews to come and sit next to your Passover table. I think when you look at Passover, you have to look at the social aspect of Passover because it's the holiday that we become a nation. It's not about the individual commandments or the individual mitzvah that we have to do. It's about becoming a nation. It's become our social responsibility of becoming a nation.
I'm glad you said that. I actually learned this yesterday in my preparation for the upcoming Seder this Friday night. You opened the story of recalling the Exodus from Egypt, not talking about the Exodus itself, etc. The verse is Halach Manya, and it talks about the matzah, and it talks about all those who are hungry come in. I mean, that is how you start the story of Passover. And the commentators point out that very fact, that it's not just about recalling the story. It all begins with chesed, ben adam l'chavaro, between man and man, the goodness that people do for each other. And that's actually how you begin the telling of the story, exactly what you said. I just learned this yesterday. Amazing.
Absolutely, Josh. And I'll tell you something deeper. Because if you open up your seder and you tell people, you're sitting down by the table, and you say, this is the unleavened bread that we had, the halachman. Yeah, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate when they left Egypt. And whoever wants to come and eat, please come in and eat. That's just idle talking. Because who are you inviting? Whoever is sitting by your table is already invited. And if you're actually inviting other people, they can't hear you. They're not around you. At the time of Beit HaMikdash, you couldn't do it either because you had to prepare ahead of time whoever is going to eat at your seder.
Right.
So this is actually a reminder for us that for next year, we should look and see who's not next to our table this year. Who can we invite? You know, if we could invite somebody right now as we're sitting by the seder table and we say, wow, I wish I could have invited somebody else and really opened up my heart. It's not about that moment. When the moment of the seder comes, it's too late. It's right now that we have to do it. It's right now that we have to prepare for the seder. And this is why I'm so happy that you prepared for the seder. So I'm so happy that we're talking about it today, because there's still time. There's still time to open up our house, maybe invite people to our seder, or maybe make sure that their seder is just as good as ours.
Good stuff. I'm glad the show here is on Monday. There's actually time to fulfill it. You mentioned next year. We can actually try to get it in this year, inviting new people, doing chesed, doing good deeds. But let me ask you this, switching gears here about Passover. The topic of freedom comes out, obviously, throughout the entire Seder, the entire Passover. Do you believe we're really free? Are we really free? I mean, there's stuff going on here, whether it's the terrorism, the jihadism here in Israel. You have situations. I saw a video yesterday, a Jewish man who was simply explaining one of the Psalms to his group on the Temple Mount who was arrested. Are we really free here in this day and age here, whether it's in Israel, whether it's world Jewry? Are we free, Rabbi?
That's a very tough question. That's a very tough question because it speaks to our mental state. And I think as individuals, we can exercise our freedom. We can choose our freedom. We can choose how to feel, if we want to feel free or if we want to feel like slaves. But I think that even though we're inhibited, I think that we are free. I think that if we look in our daily lives, we are freer today than ever before to do what we want, to exercise what we want. But it says in the Torah that the real freedom is having mitzvot, is having the commandments. So you can be free only if you have a framework. Within a framework, within a set framework, you can find your freedom. You can find your happiness. And what is freedom? Freedom to do what a Jewish person needs to do. And I think we have the freedom to exercise our Jewishness. Yes, you're right. Temple Mount. Very hot topic.
Right.
But you can go there and you can still be there. You know, you can still see it. It's not like you're going to be killed if you go there. We're not, you know, I know that some would say, yeah, people do get killed over there. But it's not like it used to be. It's so much better than it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when we couldn't do anything. We didn't have any ability to do it. But still, freedom is within our hearts. As long as we don't have Beit HaMikdash itself, then we have to work towards that. I think that being up on Temple Mount, and I'll say something, I'm very sad when I see the Kotel, when I see the Temple Mount.
Let me say something surprising about Temple Mount. I'm actually a little unhappy when I go to the Kotel or when I go to the Old City, because people are so happy, they come from abroad, and then I see the potential that it could have been, and I say we're happy with what is, but there's so much more we should wish for. And as long as there's no temple, we really can't fulfill completely what the Jewish people strive for. I think the Temple Mount is a very hard topic to speak about.
It certainly is, Rabbi. Just one last question before we let you go. What's the highlight for you of the whole week? And I know the Seder is definitely in the forefront of everybody's Passover experience. But then you have an entire week of intermediate days, Chol HaMoed. And then I think a lot of people forget about the second day of the Chag. You actually have a final day, which is coming up on a week from Friday. Outside of Israel, you have 2 days. You have Friday and Shabbat. And this year, actually, in Israel, you have a Friday, which is Chag, which is Passover. And then you have Saturday, which is a regular Shabbat, but it's connected to Passover. But what overall is a highlight other than the Seder for you, the week of Passover?
Well,
Let me shock you.
Okay.
And I'll tell you that today is one of the highlights of the whole Seder experience for me.
Today?
Because today, Monday, the 10th of Nisan, just a few days before Passover, today is the day that the Jewish people entered the land of Israel. Today, right on this day, the 10th of Nisan, is the day that the Jewish people entered Israel. And the whole experience of leaving Egypt, the 40 years in the desert, receiving the Torah, the Egyptians being smitten, it's not worth anything unless we go into the land of Israel. So today, the 10th of Nisan, is the day that Joshua led the people to cross the river and to enter Israel. So this is why today is one of the most important days for me as far as Passover. And when we celebrate Passover, we celebrate the day that we entered, because that's the final goal of the whole redemption, is to enter into the state of Israel as a nation.
That's awesome, Rabbi. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I know obviously Passover, you know, people focus only on the Exodus or being slaves in Egypt, but it's all about coming to the land of Israel. You can't have one without the other. You have to get here. And I did not realize, I never knew that it happened on the 10th of Nisan. So I think that's a huge highlight for the entire experience.
That's my job. That's what I do. I surprise you. That's what I do.
You did surprise me, and I wrote that down right now. That's an amazing, amazing Dvar Torah for the Seder. I'm gonna put that one in my pocket, and if I can share that this coming Friday night, please God. Rabbi Guy Aviahud Haboidim, go check out their two locations, one in Kikar Tzion, their new branch downtown Jerusalem, the other one here in Talpiot in the industrial area just behind the Hadar Mall. Bring your clothes, which you don't need anymore if they don't fit, and just donate, just be generous with your clothing and with your time. Go over there and check out the important work they're doing.
If people are listening to us abroad, and I know a lot of people are listening to us outside of Jerusalem, they can check out our Facebook page and our YouTube page and get a little glimpse of what the program is like and really get into the mood.
And what's your email before we go?
avihod@gmail.com.
Or people can get in touch with me, and I'll put you in touch with the rabbi. Rabbi, have a chag kasher v'sameach. Have a happy Passover to you and your entire family. Thank you for spending time with us here on Israel Uncensored.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be back on the air with you, and I hope this continues on for a long, long time.
Amen. Thanks so much. You've been listening to Israel Uncensored at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. Continue to send us emails, josh@thelandofisrael.com. Find me on Facebook as well, Josh Haston, or on Twitter, @JewofZion. That's all the time we have for today. Have a wonderful Passover, a happy and healthy Chag, and a kosher one as well. We'll talk to you after the Chag is over. All the best from Jerusalem. I am out. Josh Haston. Have a wonderful holiday.